Our teaching scripture today comes from Psalm 119, the 9th to 16th verses, and then verses 25 to 32. It says, "How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your ordinances before me. I cling to your decrees, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I run the way of your commandments, for you enlarge my understanding." This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. It is great to be here with you today. Some of my favorite Sundays of the year are when the Jesus gets really bright with light, and that is happening today. That's just an unrelated fact. So when I began attending church, I was 7 years old. My family were brought in and cared for by a Southern Baptist church in rural Texas. And while that church certainly had its flaws, as all churches do, even this one, one thing that they did very well was to love the Bible. And that was something that was handed on to me. This was actually my Bible from high school. And as you can see, it's quickly approaching no longer being a book so much as a collection of papers loosely held together by a piece of leather. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I loved reading the Bible. When my youth group leader told us that we needed to have a quiet time every day, I, as the rule-following teenager that I was, took it to heart and read my Bible every day before school. I'd take it around with me every day, everywhere I went, just in case somebody were to ask a question about Jesus, even though I was in rural Texas where everyone knew about Jesus. And I, with my superior knowledge from reading the Bible, could prove them wrong and tell them that I was the smartest person in the room. I tried to always be ready with an answer. I worked hard to accumulate knowledge so that I could always be the smartest one in the room. And part of that is just my own malformation, and I wanted to be praised for how good I was at this. And I know some of your stories, too. You were kids and teenagers who also loved the Bible. I'm sure at least some of you won sword drills. Maybe you had a vest that was filled with Awana pins, and you knew the contents of the Bible so well. And that is good. I pray that our kids here at CV will be able to come to a deep understanding of and appreciation for the Word of God that is handed to us in this book. But at least for me, the problem was that was the extent of the spiritual practices I was taught. It was as if the Bible was the ultimate therapeutic tool. Just read it enough and everything in your life will be fixed. If you just read it enough times, maybe all those other things in your life that are broken will somehow be magically put together. It's like an incantation. Be like magic. If I just understood the Bible enough, then the complicated family dynamics would no longer impact me. The roiling emotions of a teenager that I tried to ignore would be soothed. The longing for connection that I felt would be met. But at least for me, that's not how it worked. Just because I read the Bible, my life didn't always get better. And even more than my life not getting better, I didn't always feel like my relationship with God grew all that much. And so, in some way to try to address this. I went to college, and I studied theology, and then I went to seminary, where I learned a lot more about historical criticism and the way the biblical writers' own humanity was showing up in both the canon of the Bible and the texts themselves. I still love Jesus, but at some point, I realized that I'd kind of stopped reading the Bible for myself. Sure, I would read it to write papers for class. I would read it to prepare for preaching sermons each week. But if I'm being honest, I didn't really know what to do with the Bible anymore. I felt like I had a good sense of what the contents were, but I didn't feel like I was any closer to being able to use them to encounter God. And I don't think I had that deep deconstruction journey that I know a lot of you have had. I'm not really conditionally angsty enough for that. But my faith has certainly changed over time. And my relationship with the Bible is one of the places where I see that change the most. If you've been with us for the past 8 weeks or so, you probably know we've been on a series on prayer. And prayer is the place that I feel like I was missing when I approached the Bible. I was a follower of Jesus for probably 20 or so years before I feel like I really learned how to pray. And that's not an indictment of the religious communities that formed me or the educational institutions that shaped my mind, but I do feel a little bit underqualified to stand up here teaching on prayer because I feel like it's only been a few years that I've been able to actually pay attention enough to do it, intentionally at least. And yet, I think prayer is a way forward for those of us who have complicated relationships with the Bible, who have complicated feelings about how it's been used and wielded in ways against us that tend towards death rather than life. But I also think that prayer is really helpful for those of you who feel like you don't really know very much about the Bible at all. I hope you might figure out how to pray in less than the 20 years it took me. And so this morning, I want to talk with you about the Bible, but I want to talk with you not about just reading it to amass knowledge of its contents, but about reading it to pray with it. And particularly, I want to talk with you about one way to pray the Bible called Lectio Divina, but we'll get to that a bit later in the sermon. First, I want to start with the passage that Parker read for us a few minutes ago. Then we'll loop back around to talking about Lectio Divina. And I know Lectio Divina sounds pretentious, but it just means sacred reading. It's Latin. Anyway, the passage that Parker read to us is from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest of the Psalms by far, and is actually an acrostic poem with 22 stanzas. There are 8 lines in each stanza, and each one starts with one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Parker read just 2 of the letters. By its structure, it is repetitive, returning to the same themes and ideas over and over again from slightly different perspectives. And that's actually how most of the poetry in the Bible works. It just says the same thing in slightly different ways. But the theme of the entire psalm is the goodness of the Word of God, the commandments, the precepts, the statutes, the labor of love to celebrate the Torah, which is the first 5 books of the Bible, which form the core of the Hebrew Bible, read, revered, and celebrated by Jews around the world, the books which Jesus would have read every Saturday at the synagogue. It celebrates and it rejoices over the Word of God. And I think that as Christian readers, we're able to broaden this praise to the scripture as a whole. And it's clear that it is a place of celebration where the psalmist writes, "I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your words." This wasn't the kind of delight that I felt about the Bible when I started reading it. Instead, I mostly just felt boredom. What was it that drew the psalmist to write this 176-long verse praise of Scripture? I would venture to guess that it was because they learned to pray with the Scriptures instead of just reading them. And what do I mean by praying with the scriptures? I mean coming to see the scriptures as a place where we can encounter the presence of God. For so much of my life, I saw the Bible as something to be used to acquire knowledge that I could then use to control other people. I thought that if I believed everything right, then I would be the important one and everyone would listen to me. I even used this passage from Psalm 119 to do it. I had committed the gendered translation of verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure by guarding it according to his word to my memory? And I believed that knowing the right way to behave from the Bible would bring me life. But using the Bible as a rule book or as an apologetics textbook could never have brought me to this delight that the psalmist felt in the scriptures. Instead, the real reason that the Bible matters to us is it is one of the places where we can bring ourselves into the presence of God. Because that is ultimately what prayer is and what we have been talking about through this whole series. It's being with God. And sometimes that involves words. Sometimes that just involves sitting quietly. But prayer at its fundamental level is just about that connection with God. It's not always even something that you have to do or perform or figure out how to make it happen. But the thing about this way of being with God is that sometimes it's really helpful to have just a little bit of focus and a little bit of practice to get there. And the church throughout its history has described some places where you're likely to encounter God in your life. And we do them together here every Sunday morning. Things like singing in worship, being silent together, sharing the Lord's Supper, and yes, reading the Bible together. From the earliest point in the church, the Bible has been one of those places where people say we might encounter God if we just read it. But I think that in a lot of our churches, especially after the Protestant Reformation, we forgot how to encounter the Word of God in the pages of the Bible. Because the Gospel of John tells us that the Word of God is not just the Bible, it's actually Jesus. And if we're not encountering Jesus when we open this book, then we're missing the point. So how do we encounter Jesus in these pages? We begin to encounter him by letting these texts read us, by approaching them prayerfully. We listen for the voice of God, and we listen to our own lives at the same time, and we begin to make that move from our head down to our heart. This is what Psalm 119 is talking about when in verse 15 it says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Meditation isn't just simply reading for knowledge. It's a reading that is slow and quiet and thoughtful enough that the words actually do make that move from our head to our heart. And I know for some of you, and for me, that journey is hard because I feel a heck of a lot more comfortable in my head than in my heart, because when things get in my heart, that's where real lasting and true transformation occurs. And there are different ways to approach the scriptures as a place of prayer, but for this morning, I want to look at the practice of Lectio Divina, which, as I said earlier, just means sacred reading. Lectio is a way of reading the scriptures that was developed by the monastic tradition. Saint Benedict, one of the key figures who set all of Western monasticism on a path, said that it was a life of work and prayer. And they would pray, these monks, in different ways. Two of the primary ways they would pray is the daily office. So there's this series of prayers that you read at certain times of the day, every day, for your whole life. You are a monk, and that's usually built around the Psalms. And at the same time, they would do Lectio Divina, this private prayer, this private way of reading the scriptures. And I say private, but no one had books, so everyone is actually together, but it was about the way in which you were hearing it. And in Lectio Divina, you read a scripture passage several times slowly, and you pay attention to different things each time in a series of four steps. But in all of this, it's important to remember that the goal of Lectio Divina is not just understanding the text. The goal of Lectio is to encounter God. And different people have named these four steps differently, so this is just going to be one way that you can do it. There are great apps and things that might look slightly different, and I think they're all pretty good. So the first step is called lectio, or reading. This is the step where we ask, what is it that the text is saying? At the surface level, what's happening? What does it say? Who are the characters? Just some of the basic how you might read any book. The second step is meditation. And this is the step where I think a good question to ask is, what is this text saying to me? Is there a word or a phrase that grabs you, that speaks to you? Notice that and mull it over and turn it around in your mind. The third step is prayer, where instead of hearing what the text is saying, we take a moment to start speaking back to God, whatever it is that is happening in our hearts. Whatever it is that's stirring in you, try as best as you can to name those things to God. And the fourth step is contemplation, where we slow down to listen to what it is that God might be saying to us in response. In this step, the goal is not deeper understanding, it's just resting in God. You don't have to work hard to make something happen. You just have to be together with God. And so those are the four basic steps. And I think that by following them, we actually get to learn how to pray the scriptures and not just read them. And our passage from Psalm 119 tells us a little bit about how this works. In it, the psalmist talks about the litany of ways that the law of the Lord is present to him. The psalmist says, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your ordinances before me. I cling to your decrees. Let me not be put to shame." And part of what I like about these stanzas is that they're all really actually different from one another, because they're about whatever it is that is happening in the psalmist's life as they write. When they say they cling to the dust, they're talking about the fragility of their lives that I think we all feel sometimes. They melt from sorrow. This writer doesn't try to sugarcoat that life is often so very hard and sad. In these words, you hear the cry of their heart. And there's these two at the bottom that talk about the ways in which sometimes I think we feel really joyful and close to God. We chose the way of faithfulness. We cling to God's decrees. And sometimes the scriptures feel really alive, and sometimes God feels so close to us. And they pair these two things together. They tell the real truth about praying the scriptures. When we're able to regularly and repetitively come over time to the scriptures, we bring our lives along with us. The times when we are faithful and the times when we're ready to walk away. The times when we rejoice and the times when grief threatens to crush us. We return to the scriptures through prayer practices like Lectio Divina, because even when we're looking at familiar passages that we have read many times, we bring ourselves and the changed realities of our lives into the presence of God's word. And in that, we see our lives as they really are, in all of the different days and months and seasons and years. We see each of them in relationship to God who made us. The last verse of our passage for this morning reads, "I run the way of your commandments, for you enlarge my understanding." This is the ultimate goal of Lectio Divina, learning to run the way of God's commandments. Through bringing ourselves in prayer before God, through the scriptures, our lives begin to go in the same direction as God. It's easy to imagine that image as one that's really restricting, like, oh, I can't go my own way. But instead of seeing, we start to see the scriptures as this long list of rules to obey. But when this passage talks about running the way of God's commandments, I think it's talking about a way of life, of bringing one's true life into the scriptures, whatever it is that is true for you in a moment. As we see our real lives intersect with the scriptures, we come to see our lives as running along the way of God's love, whatever the external circumstances are. And so I want to highlight just a few things about this practice of Lectio that I described that I think lends itself towards praying the scriptures well. It is slow, and it is repetitive, and it is gradual. Slow, repetitive, and gradual. Those don't sound like great selling points in a culture that moves as fast as ours, but I think it's actually worth it on a deeper level. So first, Lectio is slow. The image that I think captures this slowness is that of a masticating animal, so an animal who chews the cud. I don't know if any of you have spent much time around cows, but when you watch them, they are constantly like chewing and mulling and over again their food. They actually vomit it and chew it some more and then let it come back down again. And there's so much of the Bible that is like that. When we first approach a passage, even a familiar passage, we have no idea what to do with it. Our system is not ready to take it in, just like a cow is not ready actually to take in grass. When we first approach the passage, we have to like work through it, chew on it, let it slowly work on us so that we can let it shape us, inform us. And sometimes that takes slowing down and chewing over the same text in a way that a Lectio and its repetitive just lets us. So that moves to the second point. Not only is Lectio slow, it's repetitive. An early teacher in the church, Abba Poemen, said, "The nature of water is soft, and that of stone is hard. But if a bottle of water is hung above the stone, allowing the water to fall on it drop by drop, it wears away the stone. So it is with the word of God. It is soft, and our heart is hard. But the one who hears the word of God often opens his heart to the fear of God." Now, maybe you don't go in for ancient desert writers, but I think this image is really telling us something important. The work of God in our lives and our opening up to his love takes repetition. It's like those drops of water falling on a rock over and over and over again. And that part of spiritual formation is something that I often struggle with. So much of spiritual formation is about doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And maybe that sounds like drudgery. But through repetition, we let something actually soft work its way into our hard hearts. It's part of why we tell those people we love that we love them over and over and over again. We might know it, but the repetition of telling it lets it actually sink in. In Lectio, we repeat the same passage, seeing the different ways that it strikes us. And so Lectio is slow and repetitive, and it's gradual. The Cistercian monk, Michael Casey, uses the image of painting a wall when he tries to describe Lectio Divina. So when you're painting a wall, you don't just do up and down and up and down. You gradually go over the surface. You overlap each roller stroke. I don't know if that's a word. But Lectio is the same way with the scriptures. We gradually interact with it. It comes over us, and then it comes again and back again. Quite simply, that takes time. The biggest transformations in our spiritual lives are actually gradual ones, where the paths of our lives gradually shift and turn towards God. I think that we want sometimes these experiences of deep revelations and understandings. And sure, those happen, and we pray for them, and we want the Holy Spirit to show up and change us. But that's not usually how Lectio Divina is going to change you. Instead, it will be slow and repetitive and gradual and transformative if you let the Bible actually begin to read you. And I talked about Lectio being a kind of personal prayer, but it's also not a solitary practice. So the way that a particular text touches us is, of course, individual, but we can only truly read the Bible when we're doing it all together. And so this way of reading the Bible is one way that we can pray the Bible together, because in doing so, we're able to encourage one another, showing the ways in which this scripture has shown up for us. We can use that to encourage others. The goal isn't finding this totalizing vision of what the text means. Instead, it's about what is it in this text that is drawing you towards God. And one of the most powerful examples I think of this kind of communal praying of the scriptures is with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So Bonhoeffer was a leader in the Confessing Church in Germany in the time before World War II and during World War II. And this Confessing Church came together to resist a state church that was captivated by the religion of Nazism, racial supremacy, and racial hierarchy. So while Bonhoeffer was certainly critical of aspects of the state church, many of his early writings actually sound a lot like the state church theologians. He tries to separate his religious beliefs about God's, the image of God being in all people in this like personal sphere outside of like the politics of the world. And yet, just before World War II, Bonhoeffer spent a year as a guest teacher in New York City, and he attended Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem, which was one of the pillars of the Black Church in America. And there he found a new kind of Christianity and a new way of reading the Bible and praying it together. There at Abyssinian Baptist Church, he found a Jesus who was always on the side of the oppressed, as God has always been. And if not for the opportunity to discuss the Bible and pray it over months, I don't think that Bonhoeffer would have ever become the person that he became to resist the Nazi regime. And I think it's important to remember that the point of thinking about Lectio isn't to find the next trendy spiritual discipline. What I want you to take away from this talk isn't another thing to add to your to-do list or another way to try harder to make the presence of God happen. The point of talking about these patterns of prayer is to actually just show different ways that we can encounter God. The point is God. God is the goal of our prayer, not being disciplined. And part of what I like about Lectio is that it's very restful. There are so many of us who are burned out trying to fix our lives, trying to, as Hannah Estabrook says, hustle for our healing. But the end goal is not to hustle and figure everything out. It's actually to just rest in God. And so I hope that this way of praying might be one way for you to do that. But I want to remind you that the strategy is not the end goal. God is. So I want to encourage you to take some time and try reading the scripture slowly. Let them become the prayers of your heart. Let them read you, revealing God and revealing the reality of yourself. And now we're going to switch a little bit. We're going to try to take some time to do that right now. So we have about 10 minutes until the kids come back down. So let's try doing Lectio Divina together, not just when we go home. So I'm going to use the second half of the passage for this morning. You've already heard it read a couple of times, but I'd like to see how hearing it through the lens of Lectio changes it for you. And so we're going to take some time again to just settle down, close your eyes if that's comfortable for you, take a deeper breath. And so for the first step of Lectio, I'll read through the passage one more time. This is the reading step. Just take a moment to notice what it is that the text says. It's okay to just kind of let it wash over you. You don't have to grasp it all. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your ordinances before me. I cling to your decrees, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I run the way of your commandments, for you enlarge my understanding. So we were just reading it. We were just taking it in, hearing what the passage said. Now I'm going to read it through a second time. This is the meditation step. So I invite you, as I read it this time, notice what it is that this text might be saying to you. Is there a word or a phrase that seems to have just like a spark of life for you? It's okay to just stop and meditate on that. You don't have to keep coming along with me for the rest of the passage. Stop wherever it is that God is highlighting for you. So my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. When I told my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your ordinances before me. I cling to your decrees, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I run the way of your commandments, for you enlarge my understanding. Whatever part of the passage it was that stood out to you, just take a moment, mull it over in your mind, chew it like a cow chewing the cud. So now we're going to turn to that third step, to prayer. Whatever it was that really stood out to you, take a moment to just talk with God about it. Whatever it is that is in it for you right now, just say it to God. Are you melting from sorrow? Are you clinging to God's decrees? Is there some area of your life where you need your understanding expanded? Ask God for those things. Finally, I would invite you to take just a moment, rest in the presence of God. What is it that God might be saying to you? I'll read through the passage one last time. Will you just take a moment to silently listen for the voice of God in your heart? My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. When I told my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your ordinances before me. I cling to your decrees, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I run the way of your commandments, for you enlarge my understanding. Amen. Thank you all for trying that. And might it be commandeer the sermon for something else. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And I just encourage you to know that prayer isn't over just because that practice is over. So if there is something that you feel like was stirred up in you, we would love to help you pray more deeply into that. We're going to have some people who are trained to pray over here on the sides of the church. And if there's something that's stirring in you, we'd love to pray for you. Or if there's just anything in your life. It doesn't have to be from Lectio, but we are here for you, and we want to lift these things up to God with you. And so, would you stand together as we get ready to worship?